Sorry, my notes were different. Okay. This morning's scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God.
You know, Thomas, a week or so ago when I saw you, the way your hair was combed and with your wisp of a beard, I thought of Scooby-Doo. And this morning with your bow tie, I thought of Mr. Rogers. But when you spoke, I thought of not only you, but of our other young adults in their late teens and 20s. I'm thankful that you're all here, and that you're here every time the door is open, and that you're growing as a group in your love for one another, and that you're growing your love for God. And with kudos to Fred Rogers, we're proud of you all. The Apostle John's contrast between light and darkness in order to represent the powers of good and evil followed a long-standing Jewish tradition within biblical writers. In Proverbs 4, in verses 18 through 19, King Solomon wrote, "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." John began telling about Jesus, the Christ, by saying in John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." In him was life, and that life was the light of men. We can't help but be reminded of what was said in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4, where the writer says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness." Light was the first thing that God created. Science has learned that light is necessary for plant growth. It also is necessary for good emotional and mental health. In the country of Finland, they have so little light that films that speak of or depict suicide are not allowed in the country because people go around depressed. Something called SAD, seasonal affectiveness disorder, when there is a lack of light. Without light, we cannot see in order to avoid danger. As the writer of Proverbs mentioned, people in darkness stumble. Yet light itself is baffling. Science can describe the physical experience of light, but it cannot define light. Light is in the realm of God. Just as the sun, that big ball of fire that sits outside of our planet, gives light to Earth to give us multiple blessings, so it is the Son of God, Christ, gives spiritual light to humans to give us multiple blessings as well. His life is the light of humans. His being, who he is, what he did, how he lived, his character, and the message he brought, all consistent with all of those prophecies about him, is the light for our lives. In him, God's purpose and power are made available to us to show us the way to him. King David's words carry the mark of God's inspiration when he said of God the Father in Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." David understood that God's word created the clarity for how his life should go, and that without it, he was in darkness and lost and would suffer for it. John continues in John chapter 1 and verse 5, saying of Jesus, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Some say the last part of that verse is better translated, "but the darkness has not overcome it." In John chapter 8, Jesus publicly proclaimed, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Similarly, in John chapter 12 and verse 46, Jesus said, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." So Jesus provides the light to live in godliness. Earlier, in John chapter 12 and verses 35 through 36, as he predicted the darkness of evil people trying to block out his light, Jesus urged the crowd, saying, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." Spiritual darkness, evil, hates spiritual light, God's righteousness. Spiritual darkness does not understand spiritual light, and so it rejects it and tries to overcome it. Satan's power, which is spiritual darkness, cannot overcome God's power, spiritual light. But spiritual darkness, Satan's power, is still powerful, and we should never underestimate that. That power can draw us away into Satan's darkness. If that were not true, we would not find so much of the Bible, Old Testament and New alike, that is devoted to talking about people who were drawn from the light back into darkness, or people who were drawn to be tempted to do that at the very least. We would not find so much teaching about warnings not to fall into that trap and to go from light back into darkness. In Proverbs chapter 2, and in verses 12 through 15, Solomon, as king of Israel, describes spiritual darkness in people. He says, "Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways." In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, Jesus' follower Paul speaks of people who knew God, who knew what God was about, who knew God's ways, knew God's character, knew God's teachings, knew that they were right, knew that they were good, knew that they would lead to the best way of life, but neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but in their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. In Ephesians chapter 4, and in verses 17 through 19, the Apostle Paul elaborates on this business of futile thinking and darkness. He says, if I can just get myself there, some things that we really need to pay attention to, some things that have to do with the quality of our lives spiritually, some things that have to do with the direction that we take as a choice of life. He says there, "I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the darkness that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. It's the nature of darkness. Jesus' light was planned by God from the very beginning for the benefit of all people. And so it is that Matthew 4 and verses 12 through 16 quotes Isaiah chapter 9 verses 1 through 2 that non-Jews living in darkness would be blessed by Jesus' light. People who were outside the covenant that God had established with Israel were in the darkness. And only those Jews living in covenant relationship with God were living in any kind of light at all. How much those who were more sensitive souls must have looked at that and wondered and wanted to be part of that. And so there were those who did. There were those who became Jews by conversion, even though they were not Jews by nationality. They saw the light. They wanted to be part of it. Paul said in Acts chapter 26 and verses 17 through 18 that Jesus commissioned him to preach the saving gospel of God to non-Jews, saying, "I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." As a result of that, Jesus' apostle Peter wrote to Christians in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, saying of them, "And us who are Christians, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." Peter understood that this was not simply some mild difference. This was not shades of gray. This was darkness that was utter, and this was light that could only be characterized as wonderful because it was so different. It was so necessary. It was the only way to God. Why would a person not want to walk in the light and have God's eternal salvation? John said that some men love darkness instead of light, because, he says, their deeds were evil, and they did not want their deeds to be exposed to the light. Paul gives another answer, and as he does so, he shows Satan at work, as he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 6, where he says, "The God of this age," and we can read that Satan, the God of every age, "has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." He said, what? He has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And so everything that Jesus was, everything he said, everything he did, everything he personified the glory of the light that was to be found in his Father. John wanted to make it clear who was and who was not the one that was the true light that he spoke of. So back in John chapter 1 and verses 6 through 9, John says, "There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. We know him as John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. I don't know how many people had come before Jesus, presenting themselves as the Messiah, this one sent from God to be God's servant, God's prophet, God's king. But there had been a string of them. We know that from what we read in the Gospels. And Jesus himself would say that there would be others after him. And we know that since Jesus' day to now, there have been many people who've tried to pass themselves off as some kind of a Messiah, some kind of a Savior, some kind of a prophet of God. And yet it was only Jesus, as John testifies, who was that true light of God. He's the true light, the real light. He's not a facsimile. He's not a secondary light. And so it is that Jesus is the only one who brings, the only one who promises, the only one who can offer what you and I need. Light for life. Only Jesus proved himself to be God's Son. His function was to give the light of God's truth to the world. The most serious question of our lives is this: what happens to me if I reject the light of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the light that he brings to my life? The answer is in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 through 6, where John writes, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth." Now it's easy for us to say, well, I believe that God exists in some sense, in some form, in some way. And maybe Jesus was God's son. Maybe, I don't know, it's kind of a stretch of belief. But, you know, I don't deny that God exists. So, you know, as long as I believe that, I'm walking in the light, aren't I? Are you? Are you walking in obedience to him? Do you believe he truly is who the Bible says he is? Do you believe that he's not only existent, and somehow, sometimes, in some ways, answers some prayers? Or do you believe he is the all-powerful being of the universe who created it all and sustains it all and cares about all of us and can do something about all of us and will? Another serious question is, what if I accept Jesus as the light of my life? The answer follows in 1 John, in chapter 1, and verse 7, where John writes, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." If we walk in the light. You know, that John likes to use that term walking in the light, or walking according to God's will, meaning if we live by God's teachings, by God's commands, by God's demands. If we accept Jesus' light, if we live by Jesus' teaching, if we do as God has called us to do, then we put on the armor of life that protects us from being drawn back into spiritual darkness. We stop living in futility and darkness, and we start living as children of light, or children of God. We begin living in joyful thanks to God, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in what he calls the kingdom of light. Why? Because, as Colossians 1 and verses 13 and 14 tell us, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Isn't that an interesting phrase that's used in there? He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's rescued us from being lost. He's rescued us from harm. He's rescued us from hopelessness. I have a friend who years ago lived in Louisiana. And some friends one day invited him to go out with them to go hunting in the swamp. I don't know about you, but I've seen enough movies about the swamp to not to want to get within any close distance of them at all. And he had never done this before, and he was a little bit unsure about this, but he thought, these guys are experienced hunters. They've been in this territory oftentimes. They know what they're doing. I'll just stick with them. And he tried to, but somehow he got lost. He ended up not being able to find them, nor they find him that day, that afternoon. He crawled up into a tree in the swamp and spent the night there. They found him the next morning. They had to put him into a hospital, not because he had caught any kind of fever, not because he had injured himself, but because he had had a nervous breakdown. The darkness and the hopelessness of not knowing where he would go and of knowing that there was danger there took its toll on him. You and I might not feel like that we're in the darkness, that we know where we're going, we know what we're doing. We've got our life charted out. We're going to be just fine without God. And it's hard for us to understand and to imagine that we could be living in darkness. But if we live without the hope that only God provides through Christ, we are living in spiritual darkness. And we have no real hope beyond this life. All we have to look forward to is more darkness. The true light has come to give God's light to every person in the world, and that light is Jesus Christ. That's why during this month, we traditionally, as people of faith in Christ throughout the world, with all of our differences, celebrate the birth of this Christ, this coming of the promised one of God. And everything seems too much to be about the birth and too little about the life and all that he brought in the life. And that really is where it is, isn't it? The life and the light and the hope and the future and the joys that we can have not just here because of him, but forevermore. He is the only Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Savior of every person who will see him and accept him and give themselves to him to walk in that light that only he provides. In him is life, and his life is our light to God. We have a choice, like they had then when Jesus came, to either reject him or to accept him. Reject him or accept him. Will you come to belief in and thanksgiving in and love of him? Will you see his forgiveness of sins, and will you seek that in your life? Will you proudly claim him as the master, the controller, the guide of your life? Will you be united with him in baptism so that the light of his life can be that of yours? Will you take the steps that you need to involve yourself in eternal life and light right now by coming forward as we stand and sing this song?